You make me heavy.
Uh-oh, retard alert. Retard alert, class.
Everybody knows you never go full retard.
Good evening, everybody. This is going to be a kind of an unorthodox episode. One, because I'm getting drunk as I'm recording it, which if you've listened to the show before, you know is absolutely nothing new. But this episode will consist mostly of listener questions from one person, and then I guess a situation questions by Josh Smith. The questions are from Brian, who I've had on the show before, fellow old show writer, who's awesome and funny as hell. So I'm going to answer all of his questions because he gave me a for reals list of questions. And these won't be questions that I answer all of them shortly. And I have a couple of little random things that I want to talk about. But before I get to all that, how's everybody doing? I hope you're all doing fantastic. I had a cool ass day today. Today was a beautiful day, and I love that I always talk about how beautiful the day is, but I rarely go outside to enjoy it. But you know what? Last 3 days in a row, though, besides today, because I did go outside. I emptied the trash, so I went outside for a moment. So technically, I did go outside. But you know, Friday, as I mentioned, I went and saw Kick-Ass with Flo and Kiyoshi. And then Saturday, I hung out with Michelle, Heidi, and Reynard, and that was cool. And then yesterday, because I recorded my show, my last show I recorded Sunday morning, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to be leaving the house today and blah, blah, blah. So I was sitting around in this fake-ass Knicks jersey outfit. Yeah, remember, I am cursing, so I probably will. I mean, I am drinking, so I'll probably be cursing more. God, this is gonna be a total clusterfuck. So I wasn't planning on hanging out yesterday. Like, I was just sitting around the house and cleaning and doing my normal Dante routine, I guess you'd say. So I was sitting around doing that stuff, and then later in the evening, that's when Laura gave me a call. Laura's this cool-ass chick, went to school with, cute as hell, all that stuff. So we went out to this place called Tender Greens up here on Sunset. Now, I wrote a blog about this on fillyourfoodhole.blogspot.com. Yes, I have another blog site. So I posted a blog with the pictures from this place and everything. So we head up there. She's like, hey, you want to grab something for dinner? Which was awesome because I was sitting there just like, damn, what the hell am I going to eat? I'm going to eat pancakes and sausage again. Because that's mostly been my diet. It's been pancakes and sausage and cereal. It's been like breakfast foods all day, which I'm not complaining about, but still. But I will complain about the fact that the damn liquor store didn't have no damn sunflower seeds. You know what they had? They had ranch. Who the hell is sitting here eating ranch sunflower seeds? What planet are you from sitting there going, damn, I'd really go for some sunflower seeds, but I also want the delicious taste of ranch at the same time. Whatever shall I do? And then they make these nasty ass ranch. And they got a lot of them because ain't nobody buying them damn things. But anyway, so yesterday, Laura came by. We went to this place over here on Sunset. She kept saying Hollywood, but turned out to be Sunset, so womp. So we head to this place on Sunset. And I get in there and I'm like, she warned me. The place was healthy. She warned me before we got there. She's like, hey, you know what? Because remember on that episode, April Fool's episode, where Josh was talking about people taking him to restaurants and how just tell him about the place and or trick him into going there. She didn't have to trick me because she's cool to hang out with. So I'm just like, okay, cool. You know, I'll get this food. I'll find the most unhealthy thing on this menu and we'll rock and roll with that. So we get there and they have like the big menu and it's on this dry erase board. And I'm seeing like salad, salad, salad. And I'm like, shit, there's a lot of salad in this place. Salad, salad. Okay, beef, chicken, rock and roll. I see it right there. I see beef and chicken on the menu. So I get this chicken chipotle thing and it's awesome. That thing tasted so damn good. And she got a steak. Laura got a steak, but the damn thing wasn't cooked completely. So she had to reheat it. And I guess they just went, and kind of heated it up a little bit because it wasn't hot enough. And they gave me lemonade. And it was like for real lemonade, like real, real lemonade, not the kind out of the machine that I'm used to. So I had to add like a whole bunch of sugar to it. Now, this isn't me complaining because this place was fantastic. My food was really good. So we got that and for dessert. Because for some reason, she's the only person when I go out and eat with, I get dessert. Normally, I just never get dessert with a meal. But with her, every time we've gone out, we've gotten a dessert. It's really weird. She's the one who introduced me to tiramisu because I had never had that. I've seen people get it all the time, but I had never had it myself. So we get this muffin top. It's literally a muffin top. What's that damn thing called? Why am I forgetting all of a sudden? Come on. Think. What the fuck is the thing? The carrot cake. It's a carrot cake muffin top. So we get that, and it was awesome. And we sat there talking, and it was cool as fuck. It was an awesome-ass day. So it was really cool that she got me out the house because I really wasn't planning on getting the house. And I actually had to hurry up and change real quick. Because I was just wearing, like I said, the fake-ass New York Knicks outfit. And I didn't realize how cold it got outside. Because sometimes I'd be in the zone. Like, if I'm recording my show or thinking of shit or reading or something, I just get into the zone and I'm not thinking about what it's like outside. But when I start changing clothes after I found something to wear, I was like, holy crap, it's really cold. So I get into this damn shirt that I got where the button loves to pop open like I'm trying to look fly. And I had to give, you know, Laura a disclaimer. I said, don't think I'm trying to be sexy, but this damn shirt, the button likes to pop open. So the damn button keep flying open. And as you know, I'm half Native American. Both of my grandmothers are two different tribes of Native American, like almost every damn black person on earth mixed with Native American. So I ain't got no chest hair. You've seen my arms. You look at any of my Doom mates, any of my movies, or any of my photos, you will see I got the arms of like a 14-year-old girl. There ain't no hair on these damn things. It's like barely there. I'm blessed. Thank God I can grow a beard now, which I've cleaned up. You'll see in like more recent pictures, I've cleaned up my beard so it looks a little bit neater. I look more assassin-ish, I'd say. So I'm wearing this shirt, and I'm like, it'd be cool if I had like chest hair or a medallion. But I barely wear necklaces. Like you saw in that last episode of Doom Mates, any of y'all seen the season finale, episode 40 of Doom Mates, check it out on dontania.blogspot.com. I wore all these necklaces because I got a lot of necklaces. I just don't wear the damn things. So if I had my shirt open, I need some kind of accoutrement, like some kind of thing to like ornate. I don't even know if ornate's a word, but I'm drunk, so I don't care. My chest area. Because this whole chesticle spot right here is bare, man. This thing is smooth. It's smooth as a fucking dolphin. I don't know why I always use dolphins as examples of smoothness, but it just seems to work. And I just remember, because I just looked over and saw my awesome-ass book. Hazel, number one listener of my show, sent me the latest Skullduggery book from Ireland. I got it today. I finished it in 4 hours. It was fucking awesome, and I will be reading it again tomorrow. That book, Skullduggery Pleasant, for those of you who don't know, is written by this author, Derek Landy, who's from Ireland. And it's this kick-ass story about a skeleton detective and his teenage girl, and they be judo chopping people and throwing fireballs at them and shit. I know it sounds crazy, but seriously, anybody out there, if you have a chance, pick up the first Skullduggery Pleasant book and just give it a try. You will love it. If you don't like it, you don't like life. That's the only way I can put it. I know that sounds really dramatic, but seriously, it's an awesome-ass book, and thank you, Hazel, for sending that my way. That book was so awesome, and I'm sitting here trying to hurry up and get my friend Camille, because she be reading the book. She's the one who introduced me to the character of Skullduggery Pleasant, and I'd be like, read it, but she gets busy, and she has, like, a life and shit, so she can't get around to it as fast as I'd like her to, but I really wish she'd hurry up and read them so I can discuss them with her. Listen to my ass. I was sitting here talking about I was going to record a really quick show and hurry up and just answer these questions and everything, and everything's gonna be nice and quick, but my ass has been rambling for quite some time now. There's a couple of little random things, like I said, that I want to talk about. They showed this thing on the news, and I for reals cracked up laughing when I saw this damn news story. It was on Channel 7 News out here in Los Angeles, and I saw this damn thing earlier today. Now, I love the trailers that they show on the news. Yes, that was the sound of me drinking. I love the trailers they show on the news because they just give you, like, the quick-ass version of a story. And this thing said, 40% of Americans have a gene that make us fat and our brains smaller. And I was sitting here just like, holy shit, really? It was saying this whole damn thing where, like, the fatter you get, the more brain you lose. And I was just like, this is a fucked up story. Like, why would you say that to people? Like, I know I say some pretty horrible shit, but I'm not going to look at somebody and say, you know why, you're stupid? Because you're fat. I will never tell that to somebody. I try to encourage everybody to gain weight, specifically women. And I try to get a lot of chicks to be gaining weight because most times it goes to a girl's bottom part, like their legs and their thighs. And everybody knows how much I love big legs and big thighs. It was funny because a couple of days ago when I was out, I noticed this chick. And I was like, that's an awesome-ass body. She had a body like that porn star Pinky? Yeah, that's her name. Her name's Pinky. She had a body like that. I'm starting to realize that I really am not that huge a fan of boobs. Like, there's a few chicks who have good boobs, and I'm like, wow, those are really nice boobs. Not that I'm seeing them naked or nothing. These are, like, actual human women. These aren't, like, porno chicks. Yes, for anybody who wants to get all politically correct, yes, I'm fully aware that women in porno movies are not just subjects to beat off to, and they're actual people and blah, blah, blah. But seriously, nice boobs. But I'm not into that. I'm into the big legs and stuff. And I'm starting to realize I'm starting to like the girls with like the they got boobs, like, but barely. Like, I don't really care about their boobs. But then it gets wider. The whole pear shape thing. The thing that a lot of women don't like about themselves is what I like. So yeah, let's see how that all works out for me. What the hell was I talking about? Oh yeah. Talking about 40% of Americans have a gene that make us fat and our brains smaller. So next time I feel like committing a crime, make sure I get real fat first. And when they try to blame me for that shit, I'll just be like, it's because I'm fat, I'm stupid, I don't know any better. And I was also talking about with somebody, I know this topic came up multiple times when I was talking to my friends. I was just talking about girls just being nasty. I'm not talking about nasty in the sense where, you know, they ain't washing their ass or cleaning up, like washing up underneath their boobs and they get like the under boob dirt type of thing. This is a real thing, y'all. Don't think I'm just making this shit up. There's like a under boob dirtness that goes on if a woman doesn't wash underneath her tittage properly. I'm not sure if tittage is a real word, but it is right now. New word alert, because I know a while ago I was talking about this one girl where a friend invited me over her place and I went to go take a piss in her bathroom and you could tell that she just, you know, she's a girl. She sits down to do all that stuff, you know. Number one, number two requires a sit down approach. And I lift up the toilet seat and it was like nasty as fuck. And I was talking about how I went over somebody's house and I went to use their bathroom and the damn bathtub had more rings in it than Kobe Bryant. That shit was nasty. You ain't supposed to be doing that. And I always grew up thinking that every girl was clean and like just dudes were just nasty. Because when I was a little kid, I was a nasty little son of a bitch. I'll be the first to admit it. I was a funk bot when I was a little kid. But then I hit like the age, it was like 8 or 9. And I was just like, man, I will not abide by this behavior no more, Dante. You got to cut this shit out. This is nasty. You can't be living like this. You can't just be waking up, leaving your bed all tussled up. Look like you've been running in circles like Curly from the Three Stooges and then just get up and go to school. You can't do that no more, Dante. You got to straighten that shit out. And I finally did. And that stuck with me. And then especially after working in the hospital, sitting there the first time in 97, making beds all day and stuff, that made me like super neat about my stuff. So that's why I can't stand when I go over somebody's house and this shit's just nasty. Like, just nasty for the sake of being nasty. Like, you know they have time to clean it. They just don't. And I never understand that. One thing I understand is people have a bunch of roommates and shit's just nasty. Now, you can use the one argument and say, oh, it's because there's a lot of people here, so it's going to be real nasty and real disgusting and shit. Or, oh, it's a bunch of guys, so it's going to be nasty. No, since there's more people up in that son of a bitch, it got to be cleaner, actually. That's how it should go. But it don't work that way for some reason. I don't understand that. So I think it's about time that I was going to say I was going to take a break, but I'm going to knock a couple of these questions out the way. First, I'm going to get to Josh Smith's, and the second half of this show is going to be me answering Brian's questions. Now, Josh Smith from ThinkTwiceRadio.com, he got iTunes exclusives now. I listened to the last episode, and it was awesome because he explained how he got his show and why he started and everything and, like, special guests he'd love to have and all that. I don't even know if I have celebrity guests I'd even want on my show. It's really weird. I just try to get my friends, and I love having my friends on the show. But Josh wanted me to talk about something. And the way the story would be is kind of like on the Scooby-Doo episodes where they'd be like, you know, I would have got away with it if it wasn't for those kids and that stupid dog type of thing. But he just wanted to hear like a couple of stories where I would have gotten away with it. But so, OK, I might have mentioned this a long time ago on the previous episode. But one time when I was little, like I mentioned, I was a latchkey kid. And one day my parents left the house. So they left my little monkey ass by myself. And my mother had these fake pearl necklaces. Now, these fake pearl necklaces are like for real fake pearl necklaces. Those things are like 4 feet long, you know, those kind. So I take those and I take this big ass cup, like a big old 7-Eleven Big Gulp cup. And I fill that thing up with like 50% water. That's like 75% water, 25% dishwashing liquid. And I dip the necklace inside of it and I start running around the house in circles. This thing's making bubbles the size of me. It's like making gigantic bubbles all around the damn house. I'm just having the time of my life. I'm just like, hee, 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 I'm out of control. I'm a latchkey kid, baby. And I'm just running around making these giant bubbles. And then I forget about it. I'm done. I'm done playing for the day. And I go sit down and everything. And all of a sudden, later on, my parents get home. My father spills something on the floor. And he goes to scrub it. And as he's scrubbing it, these bubbles are coming up. And he's like, what the fuck is this? So my father starts scrubbing. Then he scrubs another spot. It turns out I spilled bubble juice all over the house, all over the carpet. The entire carpet was just full of bubble juice. And I would have gotten away with it if my father hadn't spilled something on the floor. And there was another time where me and my brother were sitting in the car, because we weren't only latchkey children. We were, I guess, car key children, because we were sitting in the damn car and my parents were going into the grocery store. They were going shopping. They just left us in the car. And you can't do that shit nowadays, because if people walk past a car and they see kids inside with the windows rolled up, they call the cops or they bust the window and your parents come outside and they getting arrested. But this was back in the 80s. People didn't give a fuck about that kind of stuff. So me and my brother just sitting in the car, just sweating balls. And we climb up in the front seat for some reason. I don't know why we did it. But we climb up in the front seat and my brother hits the brake and the car starts rolling back. So I have to jump up front, because it's funny because there's just a news story. I don't know if y'all saw this, where this happened and his mother got arrested because the fucking truck rolled back down the street and hit somebody's house. And she got arrested for bad parenting. So I hurry up and put my foot on the brake and the pedal, because we don't know what we're doing. We're little kids. So I'm holding the car, and my brother Jerome's like, I'm freaking out. And I'm like, put your foot on this thing. So he puts his foot on the pedal and holds it, and I jump out the car in my tiny little ass. And I swear I remember this so clearly. I was so tiny, I couldn't even see over the trunks of cars. And I run into the market. I'm like running up and down the aisles, and I spot my parents. And they're like, of course, my mother. She's like, what the fuck you doing out the car? And I'm like, the car was moving. And that's all I had to say. And my father took me back to the car and he fixed the brake. I'm sure we got our asses beat. I probably erased that part of my mind out of my memory, but I'm pretty damn sure we got our asses beat. And I would have gotten away with it if I knew how to work a car as a child. So that's it for the two things I can think of offhand, Josh Smith. So yeah, anybody got any more questions or stories they want me to relate? I will discuss them. I'm going to take me a quick break. And I'll come back with the rest of those listener questions, and I'll talk to you all in a minute.
Smooth it out.
All right.
This is a story about the drifter who waited for the worst because the best lived cross town. Who never planned on having so dick. Some catch a bad one, and some leave the job half done. I was one who never had and always mad. Never knew my dad, motherfuck the fact. When anyway I did pick up, flipped and clipped up, seemingly stick ups, cause niggas had to trigger hiccups. I couldn't get a job, nappy hair was not allowed. My mother couldn't afford us all, she had to throw me out. I walked the strip, with just a clip, who wanna hit? They got them quick, I had to eat this money, stood and spit. I threw in braids, I wasn't paid enough. I kept them on cause I couldn't afford a haircut. I got laughed at, I got chumped, I got Stuck up.
Welcome back, everybody. I seriously, for anybody who doesn't know, you're not on my Facebook because I keep a limited number of people on my Facebook. I had this damn Sylvester song just stuck in my head all damn day. Now, this Sylvester, for those of you who don't know, was very gay. Like, there's no question about Sylvester's sexuality in that damn song. I know I've been trying to hip-hop it out my head. That's why I played that old-ass Naughty by Nature song. I don't even know, when's the last time you heard that song? If you've ever heard that song before, by the way. But seriously, when's the last time you heard that damn song? Now, I'm sitting there listening to Naughty by Nature, remembering a video, and they're like, if you ain't ever been to the ghetto, don't ever come to the ghetto, because you wouldn't understand the ghetto, so stay the fuck out of the ghetto. All right. Now, I got that on one side of my head, and then on the other damn side of my head, I got this whole Sylvester thing. I got this all, you mean I've been dancing on the floor, darling, and I feel like I need some more, and I feel your body close to mine, and I move on, love, it's about that time, make me feel mighty real, make me feel mighty real. You make me feel mighty real. I got that on the other side of my damn head, so I don't know what to do exactly. I feel like I'm losing my damn mind. So yeah, hey Brian, what's up Brian? How you doing there Brian? It's time to get to your questions, your long ass list of questions. So let me get started with that. Right, first question. Are you excited about the LA Kings being in the playoffs? Why not, damn it? Because I don't watch hockey, dude. We've discussed this before. I have absolutely no desire to watch hockey. I don't care. I watch the fights. That's about it. That's all I care about. And the Kings, I mean, only people like Kings here in Los Angeles are Latino. That's it. Raiders and Kings. Nobody else likes the Kings here in Los Angeles. Second question. What was your favorite scene from Clerks? Any scene with Rosario Dawson? There's this one scene where she's dancing on the rooftop. She's trying to teach the character Dante. Yes, his name's Dante. That's the closest Dante will ever get to Rosario Dawson, by the way. But there's this scene where she's trying to teach him how to dance, and she's wearing a tank top. And when she's dancing, her boobs are bouncing. That's my favorite scene from Clerks 2. Because Clerks 2 is, I liked it, but it's complete shit compared to the first Clerks. Completely different films. His next question. What was your favorite scene from Inglourious Basterds? My favorite scene from Inglourious Basterds? I actually really liked when they brought out the bear Jew. I think they actually could have stretched that out a little bit longer. But when they finally introduced that character, it was so funny because I was just like, I have to see what this bastard looks like because everybody was so terrified. Zebad Jew. Everybody was like so terrified of him. So I was very happy when they finally brought him out. So that was my favorite scene. The next question. Why did your generation not allow Betamax to ever catch on? Kiss my ass. This dude keep trying to make it seem like I'm like 47 years old or something. Betamax died when I was like 5, when like real VHSs came out. So we didn't allow Betamax to catch on because VHS kicked its ass. And now DVDs kick VHS's ass. So yeah, at some point there'll be some kid asking, some asshole fan named Brian asking somebody else, hey, why didn't y'all ever give VHS a chance to catch on? How about that? His next question. You're allowed one night to do whatever you want with Awesome Kong. Oh, God. Without going into details, does this night center more around romance and intimacy or more around the two of you having hot, steamy black people sex? What the hell is hot, steamy black people sex? See, when I first read this and he said hot, steamy black people sex, you know what I thought of? I thought of the first real porno I ever saw. And it was these black people having sex and like the dude had a jerry curl. And it was just like moist. It was a really moist porno. Like moist in all the wrong places. So that's what I think of when I hear hot, steamy black people sex. Okay. You know what? Awesome Kong, I've seen interviews with her and stuff. And she had this thing on Twitter where she had a live cam of her just riding around in her car. She seems cool as fuck just to hang out with. So yeah, the first one would be more about intimacy and just hanging out and shit. That's what I do with Awesome Kong. And then on the second date, I would have lots and lots of sex with Awesome Kong. That would be the second date. His next question, what are the 5 worst films of all time? Oh, Jesus. Okay, now this is all my opinion. I have to reiterate that on my own podcast. But the 5 worst films of all time. Okay, The Happening by M. Night Shyamalan. terrible fucking film, one of the worst films I've ever seen. The first Incredible Hulk film by Ang Lee, terrible. Wish I had left the theater during the credits. Same with The Happening. Tomb Raider, wish I had left after the first few minutes when she's fighting that big-ass robot that turns out was part of a training program. Mr. Bean, I really wish I had left the theater. And last but not least, All Dogs Go to Heaven, which was done in that garbage animation that was so popular at one point in the 80s. So yeah, those are the five worst films of all time. Did I ever see the Star Wars Holiday Special? I avoid that at all costs. I've seen parts of it. Like people, they used to sell it at comic book conventions. Yes, I used to go to comic book conventions at the Shrine Auditorium. And they used to always have it there on VHS, like these really craptacular looking copies, because I think it aired on like Channel 2 or something, or CBS. And they were selling them at these conventions, but I refuse to watch it. I'm not even a Star Wars fan. Star Wars blows. It's all about Star Trek. Who do I think is the most unsafe wrestler of all time? Hell, in hindsight, I gotta say Chris Benoit. That bastard was for real doing those diving headbutts on folks. It's a tie between him and the Dynamite Kid, and Chris Benoit patterned his wrestling style after the Dynamite Kid, so I guess by proxy, I'll just say the Dynamite Kid is the most dangerous, the most unsafe wrestler of all time. Now, his next question. What's wrong with wrestling? What's wrong with wrestling is that the internet... I'm going to say, okay, I used to always do the thing where I blame the internet. I used to say, oh, the internet killed wrestling because they start releasing too much behind-the-scenes stuff and this and that and trying to blame it on that. But you know what? Fucking wrestlers killed wrestling. Wrestlers who sit around and bash the internet but then go on it and read the reviews and talk shit about fans and talk shit about their promotions when they got fired and everything. So that's one of the biggest things wrong with wrestling. Another thing wrong with wrestling, and I won't even say that, oh, it's because they're going aiming towards PG ratings, because that's not killing wrestling at all. The whole PG rating thing ain't doing shit to damage wrestling. What's damaging wrestling is the fact that we know too much shit, so it's not entertaining like it used to be. When we were younger and didn't know shit about wrestling, we didn't know, you know, I for real thought Ultimate Warrior was that crazy, and then come to find out he actually was. You just believed in it more. And now that we know so much, especially like writing for a wrestling show and checking these wrestling websites and shit, that whole mystique is gone with wrestling. So it's just not the same like it used to be when you're little. And Brian has one more question, but I need to be honest with everybody, let you all know that this is the next day. Yes, Az got drunk, talked on the phone, and stayed up watching TV and stuff, and now I'm finishing the last part of my show. So let me get to Brian's last question. Do parents just not understand? No, they do not. I think if parents actually knew as much about their children as they thought they knew, they would lock them in their room and never let them out, except maybe to use the bathroom and eat. Just like I think if kids understood as much about their parents as we never want to, we'd be terrified of our parents, because our parents were young at some point and probably did a whole lot of stupid shit because our parents went through the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and that was a retarded-ass time period in American history. So I'm sure that parents don't understand their children. Children don't understand their parents. It's going to always be that way, and it actually should stay that way, because I really don't want to understand 100% about my parents, just like I'm sure they do not want to understand 100% about me. Like, my parents have never listened to this show. My parents have never seen any of my movies. My parents never read my blogs. They never do any of that stuff. And if they did, they'd probably be really horrified, and they'd probably not understand half the shit I'm talking about, because they've erased a whole lot of history from themselves, which is cool for me and bad for them, because I can use this ammunition to get them at some point when I'm shoveling them into a nursing home. They're like, why are you doing this? And I could be like, well, back in 1982, and I'll use that as an example for them. So no, parents do not understand. And also, I was talking to Flo yesterday. Flo's awesome. And she asked a question, where have all the flowers gone? You know what? There's a direct correlation between flowers disappearing and all these damn dead bees I keep on seeing. I keep seeing dead bees all over the damn place, and I don't understand what it is. And we all know flowers need bees to be surviving. So if you want to find out where have all the flowers gone, first you have to ask yourself, where did all the bees go? And when you ask yourself where all the bees go, it connects back to one of the worst movies, like I mentioned, The Happening. See? It all makes sense. Next time you see a tree waving at your ass and it's not breezy outside, just start running. Just do like Mark Wahlberg and stare strangely for a moment and then just take off running. It's either because the bees are gone or it's the Germans. One of the two. You're going to either blame the Germans or you can blame M. Night for introducing this idea to trees. No, when I saw The Happening, I did not see a tree sitting in the theater watching. But you know what? You can never be too sure. So thank you all for your listener questions. Thank you, Josh Smith from ThinkTwiceRadio.com. Thank you, Brian. And thank you, Flo. for your bizarre ass listener questions. And also, before I take off, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to play a song as my show ends. It's funny because I was listening to episode 68 of my show, which you can hear at dontania.blogspot.com, and I forgot that I did use no clips at the beginning of my show. I just play some music and talk through the whole damn song, and at the end I play another part of the song at the end of my show. There was no like real signing off type of thing. But on this episode, I'm going to do that. I'm going to play a song because I woke up this morning and saw on my Facebook where somebody mentioned that Guru had died. Now, Guru is a rapper from Gangstar with DJ Premier. And that's a cool-ass group. Oh, man. It totally sucks. He ended up dying of cancer at 40 damn 3 years old. I met Guru once at the Beverly Center years ago. This is back when I was like 16, I think. And I looked at him, he looked at me, and I nodded, and he nodded back. And I was like, damn, Guru's short. But he still looked badass. Like it's not one of those things where, oh, man, he's short, I can fuck him up. He looked like he could throw down. And there's no reason for me to want to fight Guru anyway. But a rest in peace to Guru. That sucks. 43 dying of cancer. It's not even an age thing. Like, man, he died of cancer at 43. It's just like, fuck, Guru died. And it's so funny because I just reloaded his CD to my damn computer on my iPod. It was the Hard to Earn CD. That's one of my favorite ones from Guru. I think that was the most commercially successful one as well. So as I go out today, I will be playing a song from that album. So I hope you all have an awesome week. Everybody take care, have fun, do something fun, watch something funny. God. And I'll talk to you all soon. Rockets.
Companies were trumping me, but now like chicks, they all beat up on me. And me so horny, I hit them like a groupie. Snatch off my hat, wash my dick, and keep it moving. Showing and proving on a day-to-day basis. I rip New York and a million different places. State to state, country to country. My skills are legend in the style of poetry. I paid my dues to this game, word to mother. East New York hops, it gets no rougher. Baby Bubba been puffing Buddha and Bunk since 85. Before the fake motherfucker started perpetrating live, I've achieved mad props. Those niggas roll around the G's, I ride the A-train and get mad beats. So when we bang, bang, boogie, I'll jump smudge bootop. Chicks comes in flocks when DRS rocks. Blocks are not needed, it's all done with the mind. I neutralize suckers because I'm alkaline. I could go on for days speaking about my clout. So little dap, snatch the mic and choke the motherfucker out.
Walking to eat, a unique sound from the underground made the brothers unite. I'm flapping pound to pound with real niggas, aight. Ain't nothing changed but the weather, rainstorm or whatever. You pour the 40 on the ground for the brothers who ain't around. Break it down with the flow. As I walk through the ghetto, a nigga said he couldn't do it till the shit hits the fan. Last year, I was the man ripping up every jam. So it's your hobby, nothing serious, but things get rough. I'm stepping rugged and tough, and bitches won't get enough. But little that was that. Fuck around, you get slapped. I'm schizophrenic with rhyme, but the well organized. Make the chick say ow, and the brother say ho. You can't tell a motherfucker what to do with his life. Niggas attend to it twice, so I react with a mic. It's the end of the time, so I got to get mine. Hey, yo, Roo, what's your function? Meet me at Broadway Junction before I start to get in it. Better yet, I'll just kick it. Hey, yo, son, if you with it, Guru starts to flip it.
With my 385 shot, I'll bust the bummer clock. He talks double lot, so him shall drop. I got the clout. All you pussy rappers be out. From the get-go, I let go. Shit to make you petro. Watch some fly niggas show you how to rhyme, asshole. You know the motherfucking situation. So get down with the Gangstar Foundation. Now I'm a touch on reality. Chumps can't fuck with me. And all the honeys be loving me. My style be kicking crazy, but one of these on their knees looking crazy, but your girl pays me, but ain't no need to try and stop her. I'm Big Papa, stay your girl, then I'll drop her. Cause she be working on my nerves. And yo, I got more game than the bitch got curves. I'm like Gambino, the slick head honcho, ill kid, ready to wreck Mike's pronto. And I know I'll break your back with my rap like smack. because I'm all that. And so the next time, when you're wishing for my downfall, I'ma come back to drown y'all with stupid lyrics relative to a bloodbath and stay the fuck out my path.